Well, good morning, everybody. It's great to be with you this morning. Great to be bringing God's word this morning. It's quite fun to have to work out where exactly to stand, to work out where the PowerPoint is and is going to be. So that's cool. I can see it's just above there. That's good too. That was cool. The whole mirror thing is fun. So it's just above my head up there. Brilliant. Great to bring you God's word this morning. Very excited about this passage, which is coming from Isaiah chapter 7, chapter 8, and chapter 9. Yes, folks, it's going to be three chapters in one, but don't worry. We'll move through them really, really quite quickly, and it's going to be a great time in God's word. This message came to me really as important, as significant for us as a church, and important for us to hear this morning. The title is To Stand By Faith Because God Is With Us. Stand By Faith Because God Is With Us. It's part actually of a series of talks that I'm conducting in the book of Isaiah. You may be aware that we have a group going called the Deeper Group, and there are two elements to that, that there is a Deeper Channel, which is all about YouTube videos, and the Deeper Pod, which is all about podcasts, and the concept is to be able to get deeper into God's Word. If you're interested in that, then I can give you the links, or Rhys can give you the links, or my dad can give you the links to that group, and it's really exciting to follow it through. But I felt that this message, which comes from that series, was really significant for us this morning as a church. To stand by faith because God is with us. The context that we're looking at is the book of Isaiah. As Isaiah comes into his writing, it's effectively a trilogy. It's kind of like a trilogy with an introduction. So the first five chapters of Isaiah are an introduction. And then it's a trilogy, and we're in this first trilogy, the book number one, the book of the king, the threat of Assyria. And the key moment here is that there's a major superpower, Assyria, ready to come against the people of God. And all around there are threats. There are near threats and there are far distant threats. And how are the people of God going to live as God's people within a time of great threat and great danger and great problems? There's so much uncertainty. How will they live within that time? The first thing that I want to say is that Isaiah was preaching to four different kings, to King Uzziah, then to King Jotham, then to King Ahaz, and finally to King Hezekiah. Four different kings that he's preaching to. And the beginning of this is King Uzziah. He was a pretty good king, but he ended up making a great mistake. He tried to bring an offering before the Lord. And you see, that was not permitted, because only priests were to bring offerings. Kings were not to do so. We do exactly the same, you know, in the UK. We have what's known as a separation of powers, so that you have Parliament and you have the judiciary. Judges can't sit in Parliament. Parliament can't sit as judges. We separate powers so that no one person becomes too strong. And that's exactly what happened in the ancient kingdom of Judah, is that the kings could not be priests and the priests could not be kings. Why? Because there's only one person who can faithfully, with righteousness and justice and love and care, be both king and priest. And that would be Jesus. That would be God himself. Uzziah came in and he offered a sacrifice, and this was not permitted. And as a result, God says, you made a terrible mistake. And he actually died of leprosy. His son Jotham took on his work, and Jotham was a pretty good guy, and he led the people of God well. But his son Ahaz really didn't do very well at all. He was a compromiser, and he didn't follow the ways of the Lord. And it was his reign that we come into as we look at these chapters of Isaiah, chapter 7, 8, and 9. It's the reign of Ahaz that we're looking at. We want to look at turbulent times in the first two verses. In the year that King Uzziah died, it says in Isaiah chapter 6, and that's the context that we're seeing things in. Good King Uzziah had failed, and now we're at his grandson Ahaz. What's going to happen with him? And here's the words that are spoken. Ahaz, king, the son of Jotham, the son of Uzziah, was king of Judah. King Rezin of Aram and Pekah, son of Remaliah, king of Israel, marched up to fight against Jerusalem, but they could not overpower it. Now the house of David was told, Aram has allied itself with Ephraim. And the hearts of Ahaz and his people were shaken as the trees of the forest are shaken by the wind. It was the year that King Uzziah died, and King Rezin of Aram and Pekah, son of Remaliah, marched up against Jerusalem. People were coming against Jerusalem. There was a near threat. These are the people just in the north, the people of Israel, who used to belong to the nation of Judah. It was their friends and their brothers. And just north of them again, the nation that we now know as Syria, coming against Judah. What's Ahaz going to do as king? Well, he had a couple of choices. He could make a treaty with them. Ah, but that will be a problem, because the king of Assyria was coming against those nations in the north. Now he'd be against the king of Assyria. Well, maybe he can make a treaty with the king of Assyria, who was more powerful. But that was a problem, because they worshipped other gods altogether. Well, maybe he could make a treaty with Egypt. Perhaps they're that ancient superpower that had now grown a little bit weak. Maybe they could send horses and chariots. Maybe that was the opportunity. What was Ahaz going to do? And Ahaz and all of the people were shaken, as a tree is shaken in the wind. Don't know if you feel like that sometimes. It seems like there's problems on every side. There are near problems, there are far problems. Your near problems might be, how are we going to get our shopping this week? The far problems will be, will I catch COVID? Where's the answer going to come from? Is the answer going to come from the government? Is the answer going to come from what I can do for myself? Maybe we should just bunker down. Maybe we should just say, ah, well, forget all of this and get out there. Maybe we're just fed up of all that's going on. How are we going to deal with these problems, these near problems and these far problems? I talk about this current situation, but you will know that there are other situations in which exactly the same things have happened in the past. And Ahaz doesn't know which way to turn. Isaiah is sent with a message. Go and meet Ahaz and bring him this message. Bring your son, Shear-Jashub, with you. Go and meet Ahaz. That's the first thing we're going to say. Go out and meet him. That was quite a big thing for Isaiah, because Isaiah was going to bring a message that wasn't easy for Ahaz to hear. God calls us as his people to bring a message that's not always easy to hear. But he calls us to do so. Second thing is this, take your son with you. Your son, Shear-Jashub. What a fantastic name. Anyone ever thought of naming their son Shear-Jashub? Yeah, come on, folks. This is one now for your parents out there, or prospective parents, as a potential name. Shear-Jashub. What does it mean? It means a remnant will return. That was both good news and bad news for Ahaz. The first news, the good news, was this. There will be a return. The bad news is this, it'll only be some of you. It'll only be a remnant. And that means there's destruction coming from whom only some will return. Go with your son, Shear-Jashub. Here's the message to Ahaz. Be careful. Be calm. Don't be afraid. Do you like that? Be careful, be calm, carry on. It's like those mugs, isn't it? It's exactly what he was told. Be calm and carry on. Don't be swayed by everything that's going on around you. Boy, oh boy, is that a message for today? As God's people, don't be swayed by everything that's going on around you. Trust in the Lord, for he's trustworthy. He can be trusted. He is faithful. He is powerful. There may be the king of Assyria and the king of Aram and the king of Israel. God says, I don't care about any of those, because I'm the king of the universe. I'm the God Almighty. I'm the Holy One of Israel. I can be trusted. Keep calm and carry on, he says. In fact, he says, it's not as bad as it seems. The enemies you're fighting are not as great as all that. It will not take place. What you fear will not take place. It will not happen. And actually, Ahaz, I want to tell you that whether you follow or not, God in Almighty has a plan for this nation. I want to say, folks, that whether we follow or not, God's got a plan for our nation. God's plan cannot be thwarted. Let me tell you, the only thing that can happen that's different, if you decide to enter into his plans, then you'll be part of his plans. You'll be part of the blessing. You'll be part of the glory. You'll be part of the joy that comes of being in God's plan and in his will. But you can choose not to join in. God's plans will not be thwarted. God's plans will not be changed. But you simply won't enjoy the benefit and the blessing of being in it. Can I urge you to be in God's plans, in God's will? Lord, what do you want for me today? What's your message for me today? How can I take your word forward? How can I be part of your great plans within this world? This is what Isaiah says through the Lord to Ahaz. If you do not stand firm in your faith, you will not stand at all. Oh, I can do everything for this nation. But if you don't stand firm in your faith, you won't stand at all. Have you ever tried those times when you try to stand on your own? Doing it yourself? In your own strength? In your own power? Yeah, and what happens? That comes before a fall. Before destruction. Before things that don't work out. Before plans that aren't realized. God says, I want you to stand firm in your faith. Trust in me. Rely on me. You can trust in me. I'm trustworthy. I'm faithful. God gives him a sign. God gives to Ahaz this sign. Ask for a sign, says the Lord. Ahaz says, I won't ask for a sign. What? What on earth is that? Oh, no, no, he's being all spiritual, isn't he? Have you heard that thing where people say, oh, no, don't put the Lord your God to the test. Don't go asking for signs. That's not what we should be doing. And Ahaz says, I want to be super spiritual here and not ask the Lord for a sign. Ah, well, should we ask for signs then? Because on the one hand, it says in the scriptures, do not put the Lord your God to the test. On the other hand, Gideon asked for a sign, and he in fact asked for two signs, and he got them. So that raises a question for me. Should we ask for signs? Should we ask for God to confirm his word to us? I've come to this conclusion. The reason why we ask for a sign, if we ask out of faith, out of our belief, God will confirm to us his word. But Ahaz did not want to ask because he did not want the word confirmed. He was not interested in hearing from God, and therefore he says, I will not ask for a sign. That the Pharisees in the New Testament say to Jesus, give us a sign and we will believe. Ah. And then Jesus tells them off. Hang on a minute, am I supposed to ask for signs or not? Right, but here's the reason that's going on here. The Pharisees asked out of unbelief. Well, if you give us a sign, then we'll believe. But unless you give us a sign, we will not believe. See where it's coming from? Whereas there's the man who comes with a demon-possessed son, and Jesus says, do you want your son to be better? And the man says, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. It's entirely right and appropriate to ask the Lord for a sign when it's coming from a position of belief. God says, I want to confirm my word to your heart. I want to confirm the message that I have for you. I want to bring it home to your heart. Ask me for a sign. Prove me. Test me. Speak to me. Press into me, and I will speak to you. Ahaz says, I won't ask. God says, tough. Giving you a sign anyway. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and he will be called Emmanuel, God with us. We hear those words, and of course to us they're Christmas words, aren't they? Steve, why are you preaching on this in January? Because these words are not about Christmas, these are about God being with us. God is with us, says Isaiah to Ahaz. You don't need to fear, you don't need to worry. God is with us, God is walking with us, God is coming with us, God is moving with us, God is powerful enough to be there for us. And I'm going to send you a sign, a virgin, someone who is pure will give birth to a son, and his name will be called Emmanuel, God with us. And before he grows up, in other words, before he learns to eat curds and honey, before he learns to be weaned, before he knows right from wrong, the problem that you are talking about is going to be taken away. Our COVID feels so real right now, doesn't it? I wonder what it'll feel like in 5 years' time. Ah, do you remember those years back then? What's God calling for right now? For us to have faith right now. For us to believe right now. For us to pour out our souls into him and say, Lord, take us closer. Take us deeper. We want to walk with you through this problem. Because God is with us. Ultimately, this word was fulfilled many, many years later in Jesus. So how was it a sign? That was a sign because those words of God with us were just as true for Ahaz as they were when Jesus came into the world, as they are for us today, as they will be for us in the future. An amazing sign of Emmanuel, God is with us. Skipped on through there pretty quick. There we go. Now there's a second sign that comes. In chapter 8, the beginning of chapter 8, there's a second sign. And hey, we're going to ask the question, what's in a name? Isaiah is told to write on a large scroll with an ordinary pen the words Mahashalal Hashbaz. Yes, that's easy for you to say, preacher. I know, I practiced it. He's asked us to write on this scroll, Mahashalal Hashbaz. And then he goes in and he and his wife make love. And of course, they're married, it's fine. But she's described as a prophetess because she gives birth to the word of the Lord. The word of the Lord for Ahaz is Mahashalal Hashbaz. Whoa. Now imagine calling your son that. He's done pretty well, this guy, isn't he? Now he's got Sheer Jashup and he's got Mahashalal Hashbaz. Imagine calling them down for dinner. But of course, this name means something. This is significant. It's not just a name. His name means quick to the plunder, swift to the spoil. And in other words, what God is saying is that this enemy that's coming against you of Assyria will be fast, they'll be rapid, they'll be scary, they'll be powerful, and they'll be coming after it. I want to tell you, Ahaz, that Assyria is coming. Now we've got three extraordinary names, haven't we? We've got Sheer Jashub, a remnant will return. We've got Mahashalal Hashbaz, a swift to the plunder and quick to the spoils. And we've also got Emmanuel, God is with us. What's in a name? The Lord's rescue is going to come quickly. God used the nation of Assyria in order to bring about the rescue of the people of Judah. And it would have happened whatever Ahaz did. You see, Assyria is coming, but God is with us. In that day, he says, the Lord will use a razor hired from beyond the Euphrates River, the king of Assyria, to shave your head, to bring about shame and problems and danger. And it got really, really close. And the Euphrates River was a big, powerful, mighty river that was flowing across. And it says it will overflow its channels, rolling over its banks and sweep on into Judah, swirling over it, passing through it, reaching up to its neck. Its outspread wings will cover the breadth of your land. The danger of Assyria was coming. And it would get really, really close. Don't know if you've been in that situation when you were younger, maybe when you were learning to swim, and you would get into the swimming pool at the shallow end. You start walking your way down as far as you possibly could go, you know, and you keep going and going, and the water comes up and up and up, and you get it right up here, and that's where it was. The danger was right at the neck. Any further and you're going under. But the king of Assyria got so far and was turned back in his tracks. Why? Because God was with them. Their strategy will not succeed because God is with us. Sweeping right up to the neck of the breadth of your land. And here's what the words say. Oh, Emmanuel. Oh, God, be with us. Hebrew is a brilliant language like that. It can be deliberately vague about the verb. God is with us. God will be with us. God, be with us. God, please be with us. And they could cry out, God, be with us. I want to say, folks, in this time that is difficult, let's cry out together, God, be with us. Let's remember that God is with us. Let's rely on the fact that God will be with us. Let's look back and see that God has always been with us. That he can be trusted. That he can be relied on. If only Ahaz had realized it and stood by faith, he would have had a solid legacy into the future. And so Isaiah goes on and he says, I want you to stand by faith. Devise your strategy, he speaks out to the king of Assyria, but it will be thwarted. Propose your plans, but it will not stand because, you're getting it, God is with us, Emmanuel. Isaiah is told this, do not fear what they fear. Do not be frightened about what they're frightened about. Don't call the same conspiracies in. Don't look for treaties. Don't look for plans. Don't look from one way or another. Don't look to people for your rescue because the Lord Almighty is holy. He is the one you are to fear. He is the one you are to respect. Do not fear those who can only kill the body and do nothing else, says Jesus. Fear the one who has the opportunity to throw body and soul into hell. Fear, respect, love the Lord because he's almighty. There's nothing higher, there's no greater, there's no stronger than our God. Pete and I did not consult over the songs this morning, but how apt was that song that we came out of and into this message this morning. The Lord is holy, fear him. The Lord is a rock, he is a sanctuary. You know what it is about rocks? When you dwell within the rock, within the shadow of the rock, it's protection for those who refuge in it. Ah, but it's a stumbling block and a destruction to those who do not. The Lord is our rock, both able to protect us and also destroy the enemies. The Lord is a rock. He's to be relied on. And so says Isaiah, I will wait for the Lord, who is hiding his face from the house of Israel, but I will wait upon him and I will trust in him. I don't know how you feel like when you're in your home on your own, shielding or staying away from everything else, or pretty much locked up and there's not much we can do to get together. Do you feel on your own? Isaiah says this, I don't care about that. I don't care if God hides his face from everything else. I will trust in the Lord. I will wait upon him. I'll put my faith in him. Because he is God with us. God who has been with us. God who will be with us. God be with us today. Emmanuel. Here I am, says Isaiah. And the children God has given me. Shir Jashub, Mahashal al-Hashbaz. And even dare we say it figuratively, Emmanuel, and the children God has given me, we are signs, sorry for the writing there, we are signs and symbols from the Lord Almighty who dwells in Mount Zion. I don't have time to tell you about Mount Zion in this particular talk. If you're interested in it, you'll come with me and listen to the deeper channel, number 3, with all about the mountain of the Lord. It's absolutely amazing, but it's incredible to know that God lives and dwells in Mount Zion. That is the spiritual place of his dwelling, which is now made in our hearts. We are signs and seals and symbols. We are signs and symbols of the rescue and the salvation from the Lord Almighty, who dwells in Mount Zion, who dwells within our hearts, and one day will dwell in the spiritual and the physical Jerusalem that we made here in the new heavens and the new earth. It's absolutely amazing. It's absolutely wonderful. You see, the immediate fulfillment was that Ahaz would be saved, but the ultimate fulfillment was something even more wonderful than this. I've got some more Christmas verses for you. You see, they're not Christmas verses at all. That's what I wanted to do with them. They're caught up in this amazing chapter of salvation, and they stretch out into a wonderful future. Nevertheless, do you want to know about nevertheless? Nevertheless means, despite all of this, the danger can't harm us. Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who are in distress. There will be light in a dark place. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the shadow of death, a light has dawned. In the past, it says, he humbled those in the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. Ah, that's the north. See, we don't grab these words because we don't know the geography of Israel very well. But this was the north. This was Yorkshire. See the idea? This was the north. And the place where they felt that it was kind of close to the rest of the nations. It was Galilee of the Gentiles, almost not Israel, almost of the other nations. Dad brought that out in his message a few weeks ago. And there it was, from an unlikely source, way away from Jerusalem, way away from David's house, if you like, away from the royal line. And yet from this unsuspecting, surprising place will come salvation, will come light out of a dark place, the closest place to the current danger. Because it was the people of Syria and the people of Israel that were going to be fighting against Judah. And it was the people of Assyria. Yeah, you've got to get them right. Syria just into the north. But Assyria, way over in the east. You're going to say, Steve, how can it be that way over in the east can also be in the north? And the answer is, the only way to get there is to follow the Fertile Crescent all the way around and up and over the top. So if you're coming from the east, you've got to come from the north, if you see what I mean. You can't go straight across because that's desert. And your troops will never make it. So the danger would come from the north, but the rescue would come from the north. God says, in the time of your greatest danger is my time of my opportunity, the time of my salvation, the time of my rescue. Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who are living in darkness. Do you fancy a bit of that? God says to you this morning, we need no more gloom. We can live in light this morning. The danger won't last forever. He says you're going to enlarge the nation, increase their joy, victory over the enemies. But how is it going to come about? Ah, you know these words. You don't even need me to read them. You can quote them yourselves together, can't you? To us a child is born, to us a son is given. The government will be on his shoulders. He'll be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing it, upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. And the zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. You see, how is all this going to be brought about? Well, we need somebody who's capable of being king and priest, don't we? Someone who can bring us close into God's presence, but also protect and lead and guide with righteousness and with justice. And that's exactly who God sends. Able to carry the weight of responsibility of government, to do so with peace, with righteousness, and with joy and with justice. A Wonderful Counselor, a Mighty God, an Everlasting Father, a Prince of Peace. And as Jesus comes into the world and starts to embody all of those things, the most incredible thing is that he displays himself to be God himself, bringing about our salvation. The most amazing thing for us is that this is an eternal kingdom. This is forever. This is justice, joy, peace, righteousness, forever, in an eternal kingdom that he is in charge of and responsible of over forever. See, we think of these verses as first coming verses, don't we? We think of them as Christmas verses. But they've not been fulfilled yet. Jesus came into the world, but we don't yet see his kingdom as an everlasting kingdom. But we do see. Yes, it took place to fulfill what the Lord had said to the prophet. And sovereign Lord, let your servant depart in peace. My eyes have seen your salvation. But its ultimate fulfillment is at Jesus' second coming. We do not yet see Jesus over all things. We don't yet see everything under his feet. But there's a day coming where at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. You thought that Isaiah 9 was about Christmas. It's not. It's about the second coming. It's about Jesus coming again, setting up his kingdom on earth, bringing about that wonderful time of peace and justice and righteousness, bringing about his kingdom and his joy forever. And at that time, there will be no more gloom. There will be only light. There will be no more darkness. And we will live in his eternal kingdom forever. We are people of Christ's future kingdom. Something wonderful, though. His kingdom started already. It's begun within our hearts. It's begun as we start to work that out within this world. We are already people of his kingdom. And so says Isaiah to Ahaz and also to us, stand. Stand by faith. Life can be scary. It can be uncertain. Sometimes we don't know which way to turn. Sometimes the problems seem overwhelming, coming up to our necks. But we believe in a God who is more powerful, who is greater, who loves us deeply, and who will rescue when we call upon him. He is Emmanuel, God with us. And he can be trusted. So stand firm in your faith, because our salvation is coming. Let's just pray. Lord, we bless you. We thank you for your word. We thank you that you have brought so much to our minds and to our hearts through your message. We thank you, Father God, that as we turn to you and as we look to you, we are encouraged in our spirits. At this difficult time, we pray, Father God, that every person listening will know that you are God with us, that you can be trusted, that you are faithful, that you are worthy of our praise, you are worthy of our adoration, and that you will come through for us. For you are God Emmanuel, God with us. We ask you to burn the message hard into our hearts and our souls. We ask in the name of Jesus. Amen.